This is a CBS News special report, The Bombings in Beirut. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York. Military hospitals, including those in West Germany and Italy, are preparing to receive at least 45 wounded American servicemen who are being flown from Beirut, where at least 120 Marines were killed when unknown terrorists blew up a Marine compound at the international airport. Major J.B. Kump at the Rhein-Main Air Force Base near Frankfurt says the first casualties are due there in about an hour.
The information that I have currently would indicate that there are 24 litter patients on board now. I'm not certain of the condition of all those individuals. It's being handled by our hospital people. Now, what will happen after they get here, they'll be bussed into Wiesbaden, the Air Force hospital there, and will be treated.
This is Tony Messina in Rome. According to Lieutenant Commander Pritchard of the U.S. 6th Fleet in Naples, 10 injured Marines have been flown to Naples. Six of them can walk. The others require stretchers. They've been taken to a 6th Fleet hospital in a Naples suburb. Lieutenant Commander Pritchard said the names of the injured Marines brought to Naples could not be revealed pending notification of next of kin. According to Pritchard, the Marines will get all the care possible in the Naples military hospital. Italy's defense minister called today's bombings a monstrous criminal attack. The foreign minister said it will make the entire Lebanese subject much more complicated. Tony Messina for CBS News, Rome.
At the Pentagon, officials are beginning the tragic task of notifying the next of kin of the dead. A military officer will carry the news directly to each family if possible. Defense Secretary Weinberger told the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation that the terrorist attack could have been planned outside of Lebanon.
There is a lot of circumstantial evidence, and a certain amount of it points toward Iran. But there are so many elements, so many different groups over there that have made threats and have sent warnings about terrorist activity. Of the kind that they plan, that obviously we're looking at everything and looking at it very carefully.
At the White House, President Reagan has been meeting with top advisors, and Sam Ford has a report.
The meeting of President Reagan's National Security Council is currently in recess until 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Mr. Reagan and his top officials met an hour and 40 minutes this morning. Then he directed them to gather additional information for the meeting this afternoon. Presidential spokesman Larry Speaks told reporters there will be no change in the Marines' mission in Lebanon, but that the U.S. was exploring ways to make them less vulnerable. White House officials say they are trying to find out who was behind the bombing, but their intelligence suggests Iran was responsible. Speaks today confirmed reports that the Marines have been fired on in two separate incidents since the bombing, but he characterized the incidents as minor, saying he didn't believe the Marines returned fire. Sam Ford, CBS News at the White House.
Early congressional reaction was divided between those who say the bombing proves the U.S. must remove the Marines as soon as possible and those who feel that the U.S. must finish the business that brought the Marines to Lebanon in the first place to help Lebanon stand on its own feet without foreign troops on its soil. So far, there are few calls for any form of retaliation, perhaps because it's unclear who to retaliate against. The PLO said it was not involved, although a spokesman in Damascus said the attack comes as no surprise because he who comes into the bear's den must expect to be bitten. Today's tragedy was not limited to the American forces. David Andelman reports on the consequences of the parallel terrorist attack on the French peacekeeping force.
Off Lebanon, the French aircraft carrier Clemenceau, with a field surgical hospital, has already begun to receive the wounded who have been pulled from the rubble. Sophisticated recovery equipment is also en route into Beirut from French forces to search for more of the 53 French soldiers still believed in the wreckage. The latest French casualty figures from the Ministry of Defense: 6 dead, 14 wounded, 53 missing. But French media reports say that at least 20 others are already known to have died, and that figure could go much higher. Prime Minister Pierre Mauroy has called the attack odious and cowardly. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
To summarize, another meeting of the President's National Security Council is planned for later today after more information has been gathered. Meanwhile, the dead and the injured are being flown out of Lebanon to hospitals and bases in Europe and eventually to the United States. And the next of kin are being notified. This has been a CBS News special report, The Beirut Bombings. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
It's 9:35. This is KNX Los Angeles, and of course we'll be keeping you updated too with the latest casualty counts from that tragedy in Beirut, the bombing of the Marine barracks. We'll have continuing reports on KNX via CBS and the KNX Newsroom throughout the day.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling. A meeting of President Reagan and his National Security Council has recessed until 4 this afternoon, Washington time. The president met with his advisors for an hour and 40 minutes this morning, then called the recess, ordering the security chiefs to gather additional information about the bombings in Beirut. The Pentagon now says at least 120 U.S. Marines were killed and 112 wounded when a terrorist on a suicide mission drove a truck loaded with explosives into a Marine barracks near the Beirut airport. President Reagan called it a despicable act, and he said this has left him more determined than ever that the Marines stay in Lebanon and carry out their peacekeeping role. In Washington this morning, Defense Secretary Weinberger said Iranians may have been responsible for the bombings. No group has yet claimed responsibility, but the secretary said there is much that points in the direction of Iran. Weinberger also reiterated what President Reagan said earlier about the Marine presence in Lebanon. Bill Lynch reports.
After meeting with President Reagan and the top military brass, Secretary Weinberger told reporters the U.S. remains committed to a Marine role in Lebanon, but is also determined to make them more secure. However, he said no final decisions have been made on how to do that, and that none will be until after the administration consults other members of the multinational force. While there will be no early Marine pullout, Weinberger said, there will also be no buildup. He noted that the dead and wounded in the headquarters detachment will have to be replaced, and suggested they would be housed on ships rather than at the airport. In an apparent contradiction, the secretary said at one point the Marines need to be given a new position, and then later he insisted they will not abandon the airport. Weinberger stressed the presence of massive U.S. naval firepower offshore, but agreed it is useless against suicide attacks like today's. He and other policymakers have known all along the potential dangers facing the Marines, and now that their worst fears have been confirmed, they are uneasy with the dilemma of protecting both the Marines and the fragile Lebanese government. Bill Lynch, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Shortly after the Marine barracks were bombed, a car loaded with explosives was driven into a building housing some French paratroopers about a mile from the Marines. Pentagon officials report at least 25 French soldiers died in that attack, which the Defense Ministry in Paris has called a cowardly act. More news in a moment.
The NFC West Division lead will be the victor spoils today on CBS Sports regional coverage of NFL football. The LA Rams, boasting the league's leading rusher, Eric Dickerson, meet their upstate rivals, the San Francisco 49ers. The winner goes a leg up in the West. Some areas will see the Washington Redskins versus the Detroit Lions or the Chicago Bears and Philadelphia Eagles. Check local listings for the game and time in your area. West Division leaders clash plus other regional action today on CBS TV Sports.
California Raisins, a supernatural snack for trick-or-treaters and neighborhood parties. Give them a little bag or box, they'll gobble it up. A wholesome Halloween idea from the California Raisin Advisory Board.
Many of the wounded Marines are being airlifted out of Lebanon for medical treatment at U.S. military hospitals in Europe. Some are going to West Germany, some to Italy. Tony Messina has a report from Rome.
10 injured U.S. Marines are being flown to Naples to be treated at an American military hospital in the Naples suburb of Agnano. According to an official of the 6th Fleet based in Naples, of the 10 Marines injured, 6 of them can walk. The other 4 require stretchers. No other Marines are expected to be flown to Naples, since according to the 6th Fleet official, the others injured who have not been flown to military facilities in Germany are being treated in Beirut. The official added he did not know if any of the dead would be brought to Naples. Tony Messina for CBS News, Rome.
Because of the new crisis in Lebanon, Secretary of State Schultz has postponed his 4-day trip to El Salvador and Brazil, which was scheduled to begin tomorrow. There are critics in Congress who want the United States to pull the Marines out of Lebanon, and this incident seems certain to mean a renewal of those calls. One member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Republican Alphonse D'Amato of New York, said the present situation is not fair to the Marines.
Either we've got to clear out the high ground, either we've got to take the high ground, or we've got to get out. But to keep our boys in that kind of position that they are at the present time certainly is untenable. And I cannot think for the life of me why the Marine Commandants and others haven't taken that position. You cannot keep young men in that exposed kind of position with the hostile environment that exists.
In Damascus, the Palestine Liberation Organization denied any involvement in the bombings, but radicals within the PLO applauded the action, saying they were carried out by the Lebanese resistance in order to show that such forces, especially the Marines, are not welcome. The Russians are now reporting the Beirut bombings. The Soviet news agency TASS carried an account of the attack on the American and French forces. TASS reported those events without comment. Now this.
If you're an independent investor, if you make your own investment decisions, there's one rule you have to follow all the time. It's your money and every dollar counts. That's why your broker should be Charles Schwab & Company, America's largest discount broker. When you buy or sell stocks through Charles Schwab, you save up to 76% on commissions compared to rates charged by full commission brokers. At Charles Schwab, account executives using advanced computer technology execute your market orders in seconds. You can place your order or get a quote by toll-free phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Securities in your Charles Schwab account are protected up to $2.5 million. If you're an independent investor and you want to make every dollar count, think Charles Schwab, America's largest discount broker. For your free information kit and discount rate schedule, call toll-free in the continental U.S. 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. Call now. Charles Schwab, a Bank America company. Member SIPC.
To recap, a meeting between President Reagan and the National Security Council has recessed until 4 this afternoon, Washington time. They met for an hour and 40 minutes earlier today and then called the recess, the president ordering his security chiefs to gather additional information about the bombings in Beirut. The Pentagon now says at least 120 U.S. Marines were killed and 112 wounded when a terrorist on a suicide mission drove a truck loaded with explosives into a Marine barracks near the Beirut airport. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
This is a CBS News special report, the bombings in Beirut. This is Jackie Judd.
The building on the Marine base at the airport that was hit was the largest building.
The first news of the bombing from reporter Larry Pintak about the Marines barrack in Beirut came in the middle of the night. Then word that the building housing French troops also was bombed. Now the death counts. At least 120 Americans are dead. At least 112 are hurt. Others are missing. The French lost at least six men, possibly more. President Reagan rushed back to Washington from a weekend visit in Georgia.
There are no words to properly express our outrage, and I think the outrage of all Americans, at the despicable act, following as it does on the one perpetrated several months ago in the spring that took the lives of scores of people at our embassy in that same city, in Beirut. But I think we should all recognize that these deeds make so evident the bestial nature of those who would assume power if they could have their way and drive us out of that area.
Mr. Reagan met with his top advisors this morning. He has ordered them to collect more information about the bombing and reassemble at the White House this afternoon. Because of the urgency of the situation, Secretary of State Shultz has postponed his trip tomorrow to El Salvador. CBS News correspondent Bill Lynch is at the Pentagon. I asked him about administration suspicions about who carried out the bombings.
Secretary Weinberger has taken pains today to stress that there is strong circumstantial evidence pointing to an Iranian involvement in both of these bombings. At one point, he also said there is evidence pointing in other directions as well, but he seems to be persuaded that the similarity between the explosions this morning, the types of explosives and their power that were used, is very similar to the bomb blast last April that devastated the U.S. Embassy with great loss of life. That and the fact that the French were the other target today and that the Iranians have a bone to pick with the French because of their supply to Iraq of five Super Intendard fighters that are that Iraq is using to threaten Iranian oil facilities and shipments in the Persian Gulf. Beyond that, there is no specific evidence being offered of Iranian involvement, although the secretary does say there are other factors, other pieces of information that have become available today that he will not discuss publicly.
What do officials say there about how the Marines' role in Beirut may change because of this incident?
The official line is that the Marine role in Lebanon itself will not change, that they will stay and will continue to perform the mission that they were sent to perform as part of the multinational force. But just how that will be accomplished is somewhat unclear now.
Secretary Weinberger, in a session with reporters this afternoon, stressed that he is trying to find new positions for the Marines in Beirut, but at the same time said the airport area will not be abandoned. One option that's being left open is for the stationing of the battalion headquarters detachment that was destroyed today with great loss of life, for moving it offshore onto a Navy ship. That would still leave better than 1,000 Marines in the airport area, and there's no indication now that their positions are going to be drastically altered.
Bill Lynch at the Pentagon. Rebecca Trounson is in Beirut with the latest information on the search for any survivors.
Using arc lights and heavy equipment, rescuers are working through the night at the bombed-out Marine headquarters in Beirut. A massive car bomb this morning destroyed the building and left casualties that have climbed into the hundreds. A Marine spokesman says there are still at least two levels of the collapsed four-story building where there may be survivors. Major Robert Jordan now says as many as 300 Marines may have been in the building at the time of the blast. And he says the Marines will continue to dig through the rubble until there is no hope of finding anyone alive. For several hours this afternoon, the rescuers came under small arms and grenade fire from the areas near the Marine base, but there were no new casualties. The early morning attack on the Marines was followed within seconds by a second explosion, this time in a building housing French soldiers of the peacekeeping force. The French barracks was brought down by the blast. There are also believed to be many casualties in that attack. Rebecca Trounson, 4 CBS News, Beirut.
To recap the story, the Reagan administration says there is circumstantial evidence that Iran may have been involved in the bombings this morning, and there will be a meeting of the National Security Council this afternoon. This has been a special CBS News report, The Bombings in Beirut. I'm Jackie Judd in New York, CBS News.
And I'm Tom Huell in KNX News Central, your CBS News station in Los Angeles. The time is 10:35, and continuing our coverage of the Beirut tragedy, there is reaction this morning from one California lawmaker. KNX News radio reporter Iris Shelton joins me in News Central with that lawmaker's comments. Iris?
Tom, the U.S. Senator from California, Alan Cranston, has spoken out about the unfolding tragedy in Beirut. He says that the multinational peacekeeping force is intervening on a civil war in a no-win situation. Senator Cranston says that it is time for the president to consult with Congress on what happens next to the U.S. Marines in the area.
The president should report to us under the War Powers Act so that we share in Congress the decision-making and don't have a situation where one man, the president, determines that America shall be involved in combat on foreign territory.
Senator Cranston says at this point in the controversy, it is not a wise idea to consider pulling out U.S. Marines.
I am not suggesting that we should withdraw the Marines right now. Plainly, it's very difficult to withdraw them when we are under fire and where the American flag is under assault.
Senator Cranston, who is seeking the Democratic presidential nod, says that public outcry in the Beirut bombing incident will raise questions that the entire Congress should deal with. He says that he is hoping that the White House will confer with lawmakers under the War Powers Act. Iris Shelton, KNX News Radio.
And once again, 120 U.S. Marines killed this morning in a terrorist bombing attack on the Marine barracks outside Beirut airport. KNX News Radio time, 10:36. Check on Metro traffic now. Here is Donna Dower. Donna?
Tom, CHP is tending a problem on the San Diego Freeway. Northbound on the San Diego Freeway before Brownfield, this would be in the vicinity of Chelan in the Sepulveda Pass, a one-ton trash truck is conked out on the right-hand shoulder. Tow truck has been called to the scene, so plan on some minor slowing when he makes his move into through traffic. Elsewhere throughout the system, Caltrans is doing landscape work in the Buena Park area, and for a margin of safety, they've got the left lane of the southbound Santa Ana Freeway coned off from Artesia Boulevard to the 91 until 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Manchester on-ramp will also be closed until work has been completed here. I'm Donna Dower for KNX News Radio.
There's all kinds of ways to enjoy a strain or stress. Use only as directed.
Hey, slow down, Ben. You don't have to make up for yesterday.
Why not? Doan's Pills did the job for me.
Just about halftime, Jets 7, Atlanta nothing, Washington 28, Detroit 3. Wynn Elliott, Sports Central USA, CBS Radio Network.
This is a CBS News special report, The Bombings in Beirut. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York. The Pentagon has begun the grim task of notifying relatives of the 120 Marines reported to have died in the new Beirut massacre, with the possibility increasing that the toll could go higher because many men are still trapped in the rubble of the Marine compound and unaccounted for. So far, there is no information as to who was behind the terrorist attack, although there's been speculation at the highest levels of the U.S. government that there may be an Iranian or Syrian connection. Meanwhile, as Robert Shagney reports, there's a growing congressional uproar over the incident.
Members of Congress were divided today on just how the United States should respond to the Beirut bombing. Maryland Senator Charles Mathias, who had originally opposed keeping the Marines in Lebanon, said that under the new circumstances, the Marines now can't leave.
To pull out, for example, would simply be to reward the murderers. It would simply be to grant victory to the terrorists.
But Georgia Senator Sam Nunn, an influential member of the Armed Services Committee, said that what happened today reinforces his belief that the Marines should not have been sent to Lebanon in the first place and should now not remain.
I think we ought to phase out our presence in Lebanon. We not perceived as being completely neutral there. I think that's probably an erroneous conclusion, but that is the conclusion many of the Lebanese forces have. I do not believe a superpower should try to play a police role in that very volatile part of the world.
Nunn said he would support a sense of the Senate resolution calling for the Marine withdrawal, replacing the Marines with a United Nations force. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger defended the Marine role in Beirut on ABC's This Week broadcast.
This kind of activity, it will not deter the United States from maintaining its commitment to restoring peace in the area and to bringing Lebanon back to a position of an unoccupied sovereign nation on which peace can be built in the whole region. How you do that is obviously something that is clearly under review. And that is one of the things on which we're spending the most time, as to how to get the Marines in a less vulnerable, better defended position without weakening our commitment to trying to achieve peace in the Mideast.
Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger had this comment on the Marine role on the same ABC News program.
If we continue to sit in our present positions, we will continue to suffer casualties, and there will be a gradual attrition of the government of Lebanon. If we are willing to accept this, then I would feel that sooner or later we ought to withdraw our forces. I don't think they serve a useful purpose. If we want to bring about a change in the balance of forces there, then we have to see whether other countries that are also interested in this would be willing to run risks. And in that context, I would be willing also to increase American forces, which would then have to take on some of the radical elements that are shooting at them.
The present Secretary of State, George Shultz, has had a change of plans as a result of the Beirut bombing. The State Department announced that the Secretary has postponed his 4-day trip to El Salvador and Brazil, which was to have started tomorrow, in order to remain in Washington to advise the President on what to do about the crisis and also to deal with the growing congressional uproar. We've had late developments from the Pentagon on the toll of dead and wounded, and David Martin is standing by. David, what do you have on this?
I can't hear anybody telling
me. Hello, David Martin at the Pentagon. We are attempting to establish contact on new casualty figures. Can you hear me, David Martin at the Pentagon? David Martin had reported earlier, the latest Pentagon figures were 135 American dead now confirmed by the Pentagon and 59 wounded. That's an increase from the figures of 120 that had been given earlier. The wounded figure, however, has gone down. If that's the total number of wounded, there have been many evacuated. And now we are standing by for the possibility that we may be able to talk again with the Pentagon and David Martin. David, can you hear me?
This is David Martin at the Pentagon. The Defense Department now confirms the number of dead from the bombing today in Beirut stands at 135. That is an increase of 15 from the last total given here of 120. The change is due to the fact that a number of critically wounded servicemen have died, including, we are told, one serviceman who died of his wounds while en route to a hospital in Beirut. The number of in West Germany. The number of wounded now stands at 59, and repeating the latest death toll, 135 American servicemen dead in Beirut.
David Martin at the Pentagon. And to recap, there are fears that the death toll in Beirut may rise even further because many men are still missing, but the Pentagon has upped the toll to 135 dead now and 59 wounded. In Washington, as President Reagan prepares to meet again with his advisors, members of Congress and others are demanding some changes in the U.S. position in Lebanon. This has been a CBS News special report, The Bombings in Beirut. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
Welcome to Face the Nation. I'm Leslie Stahl. This is the nightmare America's waking up to this morning. At least 76 United States Marines were killed, another 100 wounded, when a truck carrying 2,000 pounds of explosives rammed into and pulverized their headquarters at Beirut Airport. The driver of the truck crashed right into the lobby of the headquarters in a kamikaze-style suicide strike. 19, possibly as many as 100 French soldiers were also killed. A massive rescue operation is underway, with the Marines who escaped the bombing working frantically to dig out the survivors. President Reagan flew back to Washington from Augusta, Georgia this morning.
I think we should all recognize that these deeds make so evident the bestial nature of those who would assume power if they could have their way and drive us out of that area, that we must be more determined than ever that they cannot take over that vital and strategic area of the earth, or for that matter, any other part of the earth.
The president held an emergency National Security Council meeting at the White House. What response is he planning? We'll ask Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger and other officials. The Marine massacre in Beirut, an issue facing the nation.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation, with White House correspondent Leslie Stahl.
Danny White, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be taking on the Los Angeles Raiders in Texas Stadium Sunday night, October 23rd.
That's tonight. And CBS Radio Sports' Lindsey Nelson and Roman Gabriel will be there for all the play-by-play action and instant analysis. Dick Stockton at the top of the game. Brent Musburger at halftime. The Raiders at Dallas beginning at 8:50 p.m. Eastern, 7:50 Central, and 5:50 Pacific time tonight on CBS Radio. It's something special.
This is Max Morath to tell you about Choice Magazine Listening, a free service for those unable to read because of blindness or other handicap. Six times yearly, Choice Magazine Listening brings you, free, on phonograph records, 8 hours of selections from leading magazines. For information, write Listening Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. A public service message on behalf of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund.
Secretary of Defense Weinberger is right now at the White House speaking to us from the Roosevelt Room. Mr. Secretary, you've just left a meeting of the National Security Council. What response is the Reagan administration planning in light of the deaths of all these Marines this morning?
Well, of course, the immediate reaction here is one of enormous sadness and great outrage at this act of senseless terrorism, which is very similar, perhaps perpetrated by the same people, to the attack on our embassy some months ago, in which many of our countrymen were killed by an act of violence and senseless terrorism that has pervaded this whole Mideast area. I think we all sense that, have that feeling very, very strongly. There's also, of course, a full-scale attempt to find out just who is responsible, and that investigation is underway. We also, of course, now are looking at ways to reduce the vulnerability of the Marine Force, and obviously, because this was a battalion headquarters, we have to have a new location for that.
But what about a response? President Reagan said at his news conference the other night that we would not stand idly by and have our Marines brutalized.
That certainly is true, and that is part of the agenda this morning, and trying our best to find out exactly who was responsible. And we have had evidence, some circumstantial evidence presented. I think some of us have our own views as to the responsibility. In a larger sense, you have to look at the fact that the whole reason that the Marines are still there is because we've not been able to get Syria to agree to a withdrawal agreement. We have not been able to get Palestinian organizations to get to withdraw. Israelis have said they would withdraw if the others did, and they have withdrawn part way.
Am I to assume that no reprisal action has been planned as of this point?
No, you can't assume anything. The meeting is not over, and there is a great deal of discussion about what would be the suitable and the best things that that should be done. And as I say, many of us have our own ideas as to responsibility, although it is early, and the evidence, for example, that that I've seen is largely circumstantial.
When the president spoke on the lawn this morning, he made a veiled reference to whom he thought might be responsible. It sounded a little bit as though he might be blaming the Syrians or even the Soviets. Is that what's in your mind?
Well, as I say, there is a lot of circumstantial evidence, and a certain amount of it points toward Iran. But there are so many elements, so many different groups over there that have made threats and have sent warnings about terrorist activity of the kind that they plan, that obviously we're looking at everything and looking at it very carefully. But the important thing is, of course, to conclude, I think, that the settlement of these matters in the Mideast is absolutely vital. It's quite clear that this kind of anarchy and terrorism can continue unless there is a very strong action taken to try to get at the root causes and get peace in that region, which is enormously to our interest and to the interest of the free world.
Mr. Secretary, you say Iran. We think maybe that it is the government of Ayatollah Khomeini on its own or in conjunction with other countries, possibly Syria.
Well, again, as I say, it is very early. There is a lot of circumstantial evidence, but certainly there is much that points in the direction of Iran, just as there was much that pointed that way in connection with the embassy. There are other elements there. That's one of the problems in Lebanon, is the number of disparate elements that are there and have made these threats.
Is there any possibility that we will be beefing up the Marine contingent there, adding to its force?
Well, you have to look at what the mission is, and the mission of the Marines has not changed. The mission was to try to get a secure area for the withdrawal agreements, which we hoped would be entered into, and that's one of the things that we find most unfortunate, that Syria has not agreed, and apparently will not agree thus far, to any kind of withdrawal, and that's an absolutely fundamental necessity before we can get peace in that region. And they were there to protect and ensure an orderly withdrawal, and that mission has not changed. I don't think that adding to them, adding to their numbers, will help them perform that mission. The important, difficult thing is that they're in a very dangerous situation, and it is necessary to try to take all the steps we can to decrease their vulnerability and decrease the risks that they face.
I assume that we're going to leave them there. There's no talk of pulling them out then.
No, there's just talk of trying to get some kind of better position for them. Our commitment to the cause of securing a peaceful Mideast, of course, remains, because it's absolutely vital to our national interest, and it's absolutely vital to the interests of the free world. We can't simply leave the area to terrorism or to whatever Soviet involvement there may be in connection with the Soviets' assistance to Syria, which is another very destabilizing factor in the whole region, and one that adds greatly to the danger of it, one that makes it quite clear that we can't simply walk away, but we can try to perform our mission in a way that reduces the vulnerability of these Marines.
What are your plans to reduce the vulnerability? Are we going to add to the naval forces around in the Mediterranean?
Forces are a very significant part of both our commitment and our ability to protect the people ashore. We have very substantial naval forces there now, with the availability of a carrier and with the battleship New Jersey, which is one of the most powerful ships in the world, and with a number of other ships. There certainly is consideration being given to making sure that that capability remains, and it itself can be used to help protect the Marines in a very substantial way.
Mr. Secretary, are you convinced in your own mind that the Soviets had nothing to do with this?
No, I certainly am not. The Soviets have a huge presence in Syria, and a growing presence, a presence that I think Syria will come to regret if they haven't already, and the Soviets love to fish in troubled waters. So we don't have any conclusions at all as to the matter. I was just sharing with you some of the circumstantial evidence that we have seen thus far.
When you say that the Soviets might possibly have a role in this, it doesn't seem that this was aimed specifically at the Americans over there as much as the multinational force, since the French were also involved. Who stands to gain the most by pressuring that multinational force to leave the area?
Well, elements that want the state of anarchy or the state of total disarray to continue until perhaps their own faction could prevail. And that's why, because it is aimed at the multinational force, and the French have taken terrible blows. That's why it is essential that we obviously do anything that we're going to do in full conjunction and full coordination with the multinational force. And that's why we don't make any final decisions, obviously, here this morning, because we are just now in consultation with some of them. The French defense minister has been on the phone, and we are continuing to discuss with all of our allies in that multinational force what is the best way to fulfill that mission. And of course, the mission can be best fulfilled if Syria would agree to withdraw and take the PLO with them, and the Israelis would pull all the way out, as they have agreed to do when the others make that withdrawal agreement.
The administration will obviously come under enormous pressure to pull the Marines out. There's already considerable public opinion in support of pulling them out. You have been quoted as saying you think they should come out. Have you changed your mind personally, and are you now fully committed to keeping this contingent of 1,600 Marines in Beirut at the airport?
Well, the whole question, as I said, of how we protect the Marines, how we reduce their vulnerability, and how we enable them to carry out their mission are some of the things that are under review by us, by our allies. None of this has any possibility of reducing the commitment that we have all made, and so far as I know that we all continue to feel, has to be kept to bring peace to this region so that we can get Lebanon back on its feet as a sovereign nation. A great deal's been accomplished already. And the Lebanese Armed Force is under, with our training and our equipment, is growing in strength every day. And it's a unified force. It's the only force really in Lebanon that is and does include all of these groups. So there isn't any suggestion of withdrawing or changing that commitment. What we're looking at are ways that it can be performed in a better way, and ways that can reduce the vulnerability of the Marines as well as the other members of the multinational force. But the goal remains the same, and the commitment is unchanged, despite this horrible tragedy. And it's just a further reminder of the kind of world in which we live, and how dangerous it is, and how much risk there is in everything we do. And when you ask about the Soviets, yes, they have contributed enormously to creating that kind of a tension and instability in the world by building up that huge military force of theirs, which requires a response to maintain deterrence.
Mr. Weinberger, thank you for being with us. We'll be back in a moment with continuing coverage of this tragedy.
Heard the latest? What's happening in presidential politics, foreign affairs, the economy? Get it all from CBS News at this special spot on your dial. Special because the news team that leads the field is here. Charles Osgood, Leslie Stahl, Reed Collins, Judy Muller, Douglas Edwards, and lots more like them. So keep your radio dial right where it is. We stay on top of the news, so you stay on top of the news. It's something special.
Joining us now are Dr. Rafik Jouajadi, the Syrian ambassador to the United States, George Ball, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and President Johnson's administration, and Senator Joseph Biden, Democrat of Delaware, member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Ambassador Jouajadi, did the Syrians, did your government have anything at all, whatever, to do with this tragic bombing this morning?
Leslie, I was preparing to come here to respond to your request to interview me about, I suppose, the crisis of Lebanon when I heard this tragic incident, which you called incident. It is much more. It fills us all with a lot of grief. The Marines are our brothers, no matter how different, perhaps, are the opinions about their mission and about their performance, and we regret that very, very, very deeply. And I would like to offer my sincerest condolence to the families of the people who lost their lives. If you ask me about Syria, I would tell you that Syria went into Lebanon in the first place under so much pressure, so many fervent appeals to stop this kind of thing, to stop the civil war. And today's incidents add to the ever-swelling number of victims. And if you ask who benefits, you ask the pertinent question to Mr. Weinberger, who benefits by this? Of course, the one who benefits by this is the one who is interested in seeing the Geneva conference. It happened at the eve of the Geneva conference, fail. The preparatory committee which issued the agreement among all warring parties, among their representatives, to have Geneva agreement, to have the conference of Geneva, their decision, their resolution, the basis on which this conference was going to meet was very clear: to redo, remake the unity of the Lebanese, to finish with the foreign troops, to end the presence of the foreign troops, and to have to restore the sovereignty of Lebanon, and to have one united Lebanon with a strong central government representative of all. The one who committed that is the group or the people who are not interested in seeing this, who are interested in the partition of Lebanon and in the perpetuation of the civil war.
We will have more questions for you, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you
very much. First, Senator Biden, do you think that the administration will come under enormous pressure now to pull the Marines out of Beirut?
Well, I think the pressure will continue. I was one of those who thought we made the mistake in the first instance. But I think what the administration ought to be doing right now is what they are doing, that is being very reflective about where they're going to move next and not make any rash judgments relative to anything, including pulling out.
Mr. Ball, Mr. Jouajadi questions who stands to gain the most by pressuring the United States government to pull the Marines out. It does seem to be an action designed to do that. What do you think is behind this, and who do you think is behind
this? Well, I'm not at all sure that it's so much designed to...
CBS News, this is Mitchell Krause. It's the middle of the night now in Beirut, and the search goes on for American Marines who may still be buried in the debris of the Marine building where 135 other Marines died and 59 were wounded in a dawn attack. Rebecca Trounsen reports.
The Marines say the rescue work will continue round the clock at the bombed-out Marine headquarters building in Beirut. And they say there is still hope of finding survivors inside the rubble of the four-story building, destroyed by a massive car bomb this morning. Using arc lights and heavy equipment, the Marines are working alongside Red Cross and other relief workers, digging through the rubble in hopes of finding anyone alive. Major Robert Jordan, the Marine spokesman, said there were at least two levels of the building where there may be survivors. About 300 people are now believed to have been in the building, the battalion landing team headquarters, at the time of the blast. But Jordan said it may prove difficult to tell exactly who was there. Many of the battalion's records were stored inside. Rebecca Trounsen for CBS News, Beirut.
A hitherto unknown group calling itself the Islamic Revolutionary Movement telephoned the French news agency in Beirut and took responsibility for the bombing. The caller reportedly said the movement would not rest until Beirut was under control of revolutionary Muslims. Whoever staged the attack on the U.S. compound probably was behind a similar bombing of the French headquarters, where up to 27 French paratroopers were killed. More CBS News in a moment.
He's a little ghost, Frankenstein's Dracula. Give him chewy raisins and you'll make their faces beam. Raisins taste so candy sweet, natural, fun to eat. Just a thing for goblins on the eve of Halloween.
California Raisins, a supernatural snack for trick-or-treaters and neighborhood parties. Give them a little bag or box, they'll gobble it up. A wholesome Halloween idea from the California Raisin Advisory Board.
I'm Danny White, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be taking on the Los Angeles Raiders in Texas Stadium Sunday night, October 23rd.
That's tonight. And CBS Radio Sports' Lindsey Nelson and Roman Gabriel will be there for all the play-by-play action and instant analysis. Dick Stockton at the top of the game. Brent Musburger at halftime. The Raiders at Dallas beginning at 8:50 p.m. Eastern, 7:50 Central, and 5:50 Pacific time tonight on CBS Radio. It's something special.
The Pentagon moved swiftly today to replace the Marines killed and wounded in Beirut. Orders went out to the 2nd Marine Division at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, to dispatch fresh troops at once. An undisclosed number of Marines began leaving the camp aboard helicopters this afternoon. Division Commander Major General Al Gray called the Beirut attack godless and said his men were at fever pitch and ready for their assignment.
The mission of the Marines has not changed. The mission was to try to get a secure area for the withdrawal agreements, which we hoped would be entered into. And that's one of the things that we find most unfortunate, that Syria has not agreed and apparently will not agree thus far. They were there to protect and ensure an orderly withdrawal, and that mission has not changed. I don't think that adding to them, adding to their numbers, will help them perform that mission.
That was Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger defending the Marine role in Beirut. As for the troops departing from Camp Lejeune, Major General Al Gray said they were ready.
It's a 100% commitment on the part of the people here to be able to, they want to help. They're ready to go. We could muster thousands of Marines and sailors here tonight to go out and help their fellow Marines or shipmates do what has to be done in Lebanon. The morale and all of that remains at almost a fever pitch high here. These youngsters are prepared to serve their nation. They'll do it.
As the troops departed, the Pentagon was also attempting to set in motion the notification of the next of kin of those who died, but apparently it's a slow process and it's unlikely the names of any of the dead will be made public until tomorrow morning. At the State Department, Secretary of State George Shultz postponed his planned trip to Brazil and El Salvador this week. He said he would stay by the president to advise him on the crisis. Now this.
It's said that there's no place like home, and a lot of consumers needing loans couldn't agree more. According to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, your home could offer the cheapest means of borrowing money. It could be the key to getting that new car or paying for a college education. If information like this is important to you, have a pencil ready for an offer from the Journal that will help you and your company. Other Journal articles revealed how pension law changes proposed by the White House would benefit working women, divorcees, and widows. The heated controversy over a West Coast synthetic fuel project. Why Japanese autos are in short supply at U.S. dealers. And how an entire company can suffer when major illness strikes a key employee. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can still get 6 months of the Journal for $47. That's $47 for 6 months of the Journal, just 37 cents a day. Or consider a gift of the Journal for someone you know who is interested in business. Call toll-free in the continental U.S. 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
President Reagan has been meeting with key advisors at the White House for the past 2 hours. It's the second meeting of the day. An announcement is expected soon as to any decisions that might have been taken. To recapitulate the latest developments, fresh Marine troops have been dispatched to Beirut to replace the 135 Marines who were killed today. The administration reiterates its determination to complete the peacekeeping mission in Lebanon, and the Pentagon has begun the sad task of notifying the families of the dead and wounded in the Beirut massacre. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.